In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Faithful God, most merciful Judge, you care for your children with firmness and compassion. By your Spirit, nurture us who live in your kingdom, that we may be rooted in the way of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Swing the chairs up and let me ride. A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from of old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the pit of death. But you, O Lord, are gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and full of kindness and truth. Show me a sign of your favor, so that those who hate me may see it and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. A reading from Romans. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came, sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So the plants came up and bore grain. Then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slave said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. But both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. May be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You hear me say over and over that we live in a dark and broken world, and the parable that we just heard affirms all of that. That even the nature of the church is not perfect by any means, but it's both holy and sinful. There is brokenness. There are weeds here, and it's a problem. There are weeds in the church, in the world, just causing us problems. And these weeds put wedges between us and God. They dehumanize our neighbor. They justify greed. They make idolatry a virtue. And there are times throughout the history of the church into the present where it feels as if these weeds have penetrated the walls of the church to such a point where it's taken over, sucking the new life out of God's holy people. But when human beings come to terms with the world being broken, whether religious or not, there is an impulse thinking that we alone can fix this. Not only do we have an idea that we can fix it, but we might even believe that we're better at fixing it than God is capable of fixing things. We want nothing more
than to get rid of these weeds, to cut them down and burn them, to destroy them. But once we start weeding, where do we stop? Where do we draw the line? Our enemies might be easy to weed out, but what about our friends? What about our family? What happens when someone says that you or me are a weed and need to be gone? When it's up to us to weed, it gets dangerous. Think of what a broken humanity wants to weed out. We ended up weeding out Christ himself, did we not? For whatever reason, in the parable today, there's an affirmation that weeds and wheat are together in both church and world. But our focus must be centered in growing in the kingdom, not obsessed on what needs to be weeded out. Because as the parable seems to indicate, even with the best of intentions, we might cause more harm than good when trying to determine what should be gone and what should remain. And God's justice is to make things right in the end. Jesus' sense of justice and judgment is not what we are often satisfied with. And that seemed to frustrate many people in Jesus' ministry. That he did not judge in a way that others would have hoped. That he didn't weed out those people on the margins so they'd just be gone for good. That he would remove those who were in the in-group that really didn't belong in the fold. So the one who has the authority to judge, ironically, was judged, sentenced, and weeded out by a broken humanity. But Jesus chose to dwell with the weeds and the wheat. Weeds and wheat that for every reason are together in God's kingdom on God's farm. Which means that the weeds and the wheat are mingled together and they both get sunlight and rain. Which reminds me of Martin Luther's explanation of the petition in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us today our daily bread." Luther writes, "In fact, God gives daily bread without our prayer, even to all evil people. But we ask in this prayer that God cause us to recognize what our daily bread is and to receive it with thanksgiving." Even to all evil people. The weeds and the wheat are mingled together and both receive sunlight, rain, and daily bread. So our job is not to weed, but to grow and receive God's love, mercy, and forgiveness. That's what enables us to grow deeper in love towards God and to one another. Because to be the judge, I don't know if you like that. It's a burden. Having to figure all that out. Christ is freeing us from this. You don't need to worry about this. You just be wheat. You just be a child of God, growing in the Son of Righteousness. I know when we first became foster parents, that was one of the things we had to convey to our oldest, is just be a kid. Because they were so consumed in having to do things that a three-year-old shouldn't have to do. Have to worry about things that a three-year-old shouldn't have to worry about. Jesus is saying to us here, don't worry about these things. Be a child of God. Grow in the Son of Righteousness. I'm taking care of the big things. So we have the reality that there are two kinds of disciples, and our destiny as disciples will be revealed in the judgment. And that judgment of God seems delayed, and that's frustrating. Because I agree with the saying, justice delayed is justice denied. But it's also important to note that there are two other parables in between. We didn't read them today, but in Matthew 13 that we skipped over. The parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. Patrick Wilson elaborates a little bit when he writes, "Jesus did not say that the kingdom was like a rock, fixed and solid and firm and unchanging. Jesus did not say that the kingdom was like a giant machine, that you put some things in and you get some things out, and what you get depends on what you put in. He said it was like an enormous tree that grows out of a tiny seed, a tree that grows so enormous that all the birds of the air can come and find shelter in its branches, even strange little ducks like you and me. He said that God was like a housewife who puts a smidgen of yeast into 3 measures of flour, and that yeast yields its life into a whole batch of dough. That is the way of the kingdom is, growing from the very beginning into all that God has intended. From the foundation of the world, the very first moment of creation, it is the kingdom that has been on God's mind, and God is infinitely patient as it grows. So that delay that I get frustrated with is a reminder of God's patience. And Paul says in Romans that love is patient, that notorious passage that we often hear at weddings, the first description of love is patience. I think we all can agree with that. Yet we shouldn't confuse the existence of weed in church and society as a reason to be complacent. Because I think there are some of us who might like to avoid conflict that would love this parable and say, good, God's going to sort it out in the end. I don't have to do anything. I can avoid all the hard stuff. We should not take God's patience and that God's judgment as an excuse to be complacent. Letting God take care of the ultimate weeding does not mean we get to be passive in what it means to grow and share the love of Jesus. Because when we are passive, when we are complacent, we are allowing the weeds in church and world to overcome us. And so that all that people will see of God's holy church are nothing but weeds. But we have been watered with God's love through those waters of holy baptism. And we are daily rising to new life in Christ. And if we walk away with the acknowledgement that God is not only patiently tolerating the weeds, but patiently tolerating and loving you and me, that even caring for the marginalized and the oppressed in our midst is something that God cares about. If daily bread is for even the evil people, then surely God loves those who are pushed to the margins and who are oppressed, who experience injustice. And if we follow the way of Jesus, then that isn't delayed in the present. We should care for everybody that God loves, even those weeds, to ensure that daily bread is received by all the people of the world. So by no means is this a call to keep our hands off and just wait for God to sort it out, because God's work in God's kingdom is underway. But the good news is that we're not God in the process. We don't know what God can do with any seed that is planted. And God knows the fruit that any of us can and will produce. That's why we're not the ones doing the weeding. But we are the ones that are growing, loving, spreading, and sharing the divine love of God's kingdom that is here and that is to come. Let me tell you, I am grateful for so many people in my 40 years on earth to be patient with me, to teach me, to give me space to grow and to see where I might have been wrong in assuming or believing certain things. I am grateful for your patience in the 12 years that I've been an ordained minister in loving and patiently showing me things that I did not know. That patience is a two-way street, by the way, right? I've been patient with you as well. Think about the patience and the love that gives people the opportunity to grow and to see much more, to get to places that we didn't think that we could be in this world. That's what it means to follow the way of Jesus, to follow the command to love, to imitate Christ in the world, that they might see Jesus. They might see these holy people of God mingled with the weeds of the world and wonder why they can be so lovingly patient with everyone. And as people of hope, we long for the day where God's justice and judgment will reign in the new heaven and the new earth. So our focus on what God is doing now is important. God only knows what any one of us will ultimately produce. And if we are continually transformed by God's waters of mercy and forgiveness, we may bear witness to the kingdom that is already here and that is to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of creation. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. God, in your mercy. O God, you call your church to announce the gospel of reconciliation and truth both near and far. Guide your church as it seeks your wisdom and shares it, trusting your spirit bearing witness among us. Hear us, O God. You brought forth all creation and called it good. Direct policymakers to protect lands and seas, bring rain to sun-parched fields, and protect areas impacted by natural disasters. Hear us, O God. You desire peace among nations and peoples. Guard our neighborhoods from hatred. Watch over police officers and firefighters, and teach us to advocate for those who live in fear. Hear us, O God. You are gracious and merciful, comforting those who suffer any affliction, especially Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Susie, Donna, Joellen, Carol, Mary, Pat, Dixon, Everly, the family of Alice Florentine, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Ella, Donna and Melina, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Lucas, John, Art, the family of Vong Sorchai, Kelly, Mary, Diane, Carol, and our homebound. Sustain your people living with HIV/AIDS. Provide shelter for all who are unhoused, and release any who are unjustly imprisoned. Hear us, O God. You name each of us as your children. Guide our hospitality ministry to welcome all, our education ministry to equip us for faithful living, and our social ministry to enact the gospel in our community. Hear us, O God. You send faithful people to proclaim freedom from bondage and to renew your church. Encourage us by the witness of the faithful departed, Alice, Vong, and including Birgitta of Sweden, whom the church commemorates today, so that we live into that same hope. Hear us, O God.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. In the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Let us pray.
God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, of the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. O God most mighty, O God most merciful, O God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise. Call us to your table. Grant us your life. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order on beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation, David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing. And full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows, and Jesus our brother. He was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his death, we cry out, "Amen."
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, "Amen."
Amen.
Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, "Amen."
Amen.
O God, you are bread. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God, most majestic. O God, most motherly. O God, our strength and our song. You show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nation. Grant us such life, the life of the Father to the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in you, now, on, forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. Distribution of the sacrament will be kneeling around the altar. Ushers will have trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. We offer both consecrated wine and grape juice. Just indicate your preference when you're at the altar. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. tongues and
let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
As Christ sends us out into the community, into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Send into the community to share the love of Jesus. The Marianaires have a Irish blessing to give us. Son and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.